Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back to the podcast. You know, if you are a coach or consultant or have a small service-based agency or business, you have probably heard all the same advice as the rest of us, especially when it comes to marketing. When I first went through coach training and was expected to drink that high-priced Kool-Aid, I really found myself resisting a whole lot of it, including what we're going to talk about today. Now, fast forward several years into my online business journey, I have learned to trust my own instincts and can now evaluate the advice of others through the lens of my experiences, my values, and my goals. And surprisingly, I have come to agree with some of the advice I heard at the beginning and was resistant AF to it. Now, today's solo episode is the first in the Boundaries series, and we are going to tackle the advice to create a way of working with people that we're going to call a niche. Some call it a niche. Now, I really resisted this idea, but the teaching is you're supposed to attract your ideal clients and repel everyone else and not try to help everyone that you think you can, think you should, or believe is possible. The truth is you really can't help everybody. None of us can. This is true of beginners. It is true of people who have been doing this for decades. It is not a matter of experience or expertise. It's not your mindset or how long you've been in the business or who trained you or mentored you. Now, we are going to be talking in the Boundaries series about all kinds of things we do that limit our success, because we have weak-ass boundaries and do not even realize it. Spoiler alert, the way I look at and talk about boundaries is guaranteed to open your eyes to all kinds of things you're probably not even thinking about and the ones you already know you're dealing with. Here's a quick overview of what we will talk about in today's episode. Why do we say yes when we should say no? It's what I call the default yes, and we're going to unpack that for both newbies and experts alike because we're all susceptible to it. The relationship between boundaries and niche marketing, and the six things you need to do to wean yourself off the default yes, because in reality, you should not be working with everyone. You should not try to work with everyone. Some of the people that you have worked with in the past and may even be working with now, you shouldn't be trying to work with because they're not right for you. You may have even had an inkling of that before you agreed to do so. But working with the exact right people, being the right coach for the right reason at the right time, what when I was a therapist we referred to as goodness of fit, is the only reliable way to know that you're going to deliver consistently amazing outcomes. And isn't that what we're all here for? I mean, the kind of outcomes that get you great testimonials, the kind of outcomes that allow you to invite clients and former clients on your podcast for client success story episodes, and the ones that get you fantastic testimonials and referrals. Well, if you've ever heard the expression garbage in and garbage out, that's what I'm talking about. Not that any of your clients are garbage, obviously, but if you're saying yes to people you shouldn't be saying yes to, you cannot create predictable outcomes. So we're going to unpack this, talk about some pink flags, and really understand why we say yes when we shouldn't. And more importantly, in the second half of the episode, what to do instead. Okay, what is this default yes I'm talking about? What I call the default yes is the fact that we say yes when we should say no, or at least get more information before we decide. It's almost like a knee-jerk reflex. Frankly, it's easier. when someone asks, say, you want to work with me? Yeah. Can I have a discount? Okay. Can we meet every other week instead of every week? I'm really, really busy. Okay. Yeah, sure. When we start saying yes to things that actually cause us to deviate from what we know works, we are undermining our ability to have a predictably good outcome. For example, let's say you go see a doctor and your doctor tells you, take this medication every day for 10 days and you will recover from this illness. Can you imagine asking the doctor, well, that's kind of a hassle. What if I just take it every other day? Can you imagine even doing that? No, of course not. You also probably couldn't imagine asking your doctor to give you a discount, but I guess some people do. Anyway, the point is this. When someone asks us for a discount, when they ask us to be their coach or consultant or to work with them, when they ask if we barter, when they ask if we would deviate from our way of doing things, throw things in, remove things, and so forth, those are times when we really need to stop and think, why am I inclined to say yes? Is it because I think I need the money? Is it because I think I need the experience? Is it because I'm a people pleaser? Or have I got myself so convinced that I am so agile and nimble and experienced and flexible and I just love being adaptable and I'm such a creative problem solver and I've got this great can-do attitude and I just so value flexibility and adaptability that of course I'm going to say yes? Or is it literally such an unconscious reaction that you do not stop to consider whether your yes really should be a yes? It's true for so many of us, people who would never refer to themselves as people pleasers, but when you get right down to it, they hardly ever say no to anything. Sometimes we're flattered. Sometimes somebody wants to work with us, and they're really coming on strong and telling us, you know, oh, I love everything you do. I've binged through all of your podcast episodes and all of your interviews on other shows. And I love your Instagram feed. And I just think everything you do is so amazing. But yet they're not right for you. Well, how would you even know? If you're saying yes to everybody for some of the right and many of the wrong reasons, you are not going to know for sure. And then it's kind of a crapshoot what kind of experience you're going to have and what kind of outcome you're going to get. So first, let's go through a few pink flags. Because when you say yes to situations like this, experiences like this, clients like this, you're probably going to wish you hadn't. One, they don't know what they want. They don't know if you are a website developer. They don't know if they want a simple, user-friendly one-page website or they want one that's fully responsive with all the bells and whistles. They don't know. Or they don't know if they want you to help them scale their business or maintain it the way it is but raise their prices. They don't know what they want. If your customer or client doesn't know what they want, how the heck do you think you're going to help them get it? I mean, legitimately. They need to know what they want. There needs to be a clearly definable outcome that you are able to help them achieve. Otherwise, it needs to be a no, or at least not now. They can come back when they do know what they want. Another thing, here's another pink flag. They are not able or willing to follow your way of working. Now, as flexible as you might want to be, you are good at what you do because you know what works and what doesn't. So, be very cautious about throwing your tried and tested system to the wind when someone wants to work with you, but they want to work with you on their terms, or they want to work with you in a different way. If you know that you need to meet with people every single week to get the desired outcome, and this person only wants to see you once a month over a longer period of time, and you know that's not going to work, please don't say yes. Please don't say yes. You know, there's a difference between being accommodating and throwing your expertise out the window. You're not going to have a predictable outcome when you do that. I have done this and I have learned not to do it again. Here's another one. If the person who wants to work with you has worked with multiple of your competitors, especially if they talk smack about them, especially if they say this person didn't help me, this person ripped me off, this person was incompetent. Any negative talk about your competitors, especially if it's several, is I would elevate that from a pink flag to a flaming red flag. If somebody is overly eager or overly vague about what they'd like you to help them with, because it's really hard to achieve an outcome when it's not clearly stated from the beginning. Okay. So I'm sure all of this is making sense, and you are probably going ding, 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 thinking of hopefully past and hopefully not current situations where it applies. We're going to take a quick little break and then come back and talk about what to do instead. We're not going to take any more of these pink flag clients, but what are you going to do instead if this is what's been happening? So stay with me. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz. And if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go. Back to the show.
I adopted this phrase of this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need, where you were attractive.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware of that. I was, just because I love people. And when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through, mostly in my memory of like, figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything. And definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
Okay, you ready to start talking about having predictably good outcomes? Let's do it. First of all, I highly recommend that if you have been a coach, a consultant, a service provider, an agency owner, and you are working in the service industry, that as soon as you are able to do so, develop your own signature system or framework. I wanted to do this for quite some time, but I could not pin myself down and commit to a specific process. This is all part of the saying yes to too many things, which ultimately meant I was saying no to growing my business. Over the last few months, I have been working with an excellent marketing consultant and have finally just created my own signature system. I will be sharing it in the near future. You'll be hearing a lot more about it. But I definitely want to shout out Claudia from Bridge to More. She's in the Netherlands. We have had a fantastic experience. I recommend her highly. There will be a link to her website in the show notes. Creating a signature system means you have a tried and true process that you can take your clients through to get a predictable outcome. So determining who you should say yes to, it needs to be someone who can work the signature system with you, because they want the results that you are able to help them get with that system. It really is such a game changer. I wish I would have been able to do it sooner, but like in most things in life, I do things when I'm able and ready to do them. But I can really see how this is going to streamline and simplify my client selection process big time. So if you have been thinking about a framework, thinking about a signature system, I strongly suggest that you get on it and start working towards one. If you need some help, get a consultation with Claudia. She's excellent. If you're not at the point where you are ready to do that, but you feel like you're not necessarily working with the right clients for you, you are not having predictably good outcomes, you don't really know when you begin with a new client whether it's going to work out or not, we can always learn from the past. Go through your list of clients, current and past. Be super honest with yourself. No judgment, no blame, no shame. And look at what worked and what didn't. And especially look for patterns. What is working in our business usually has a pattern. And what isn't working usually has a pattern. So we don't have to keep recreating the same outcomes. We need to go back and look at the history and see what have we been doing up until now and how is it working for us or not. Once you've done that, the next step is to upgrade your screening process. Far too many of us will literally work with anybody who's willing to pay our fees. That is a shame because you might feel desperate. You might feel you really need the money. You really need the clients. You've got bills to pay. You've got a team to pay. But in reality, if you don't know that you're going to have a predictably good outcome, your entire experience working with a client is going to be very stressful. And that is seriously no fun. You might as well be working for someone else if that's going to be the situation. So by upgrading your screening process, either with an application, an interview, or both if you are a high-ticket program, you can identify what those pink flags might be and address them up front. You will also be able to clarify expectations about what each of you needs and wants from the relationship in terms of communication cadence, frequency of contact, contact outside of your coaching calls or meetings, and so forth. Preferences for communication, text, email, voicemail, Voxer, none of the above, all of the above, only during business hours, and whose time zone does that apply? And there's so many things to work through and so many ways that feelings can be hurt, mistakes can be made, and relationships can start to go sour on you. Thinking that through ahead of time by upgrading your screening process with an application or interview, and then clarifying your expectations both verbally and in writing and having them agreed to, means you're anticipating the possibility that it might not be all sunshine and roses. You accept that that's the nature of business, and you're a grown-ass woman who talks about it upfront. I mean, hey, listen, we all know that not all relationships work out, right? So why would we ignore something this important in our business? And lastly, your client agreement needs to have a termination clause. Now, it might seem like, well, why am I bringing that up at the very beginning? Who doesn't know that 50% of marriages end in divorce? I mean, you're not necessarily talking about it at your engagement party, but you kind of know. When you're in business, don't gamble. Don't guess. Don't go on a wing and a prayer. Don't hope for good outcomes. Anticipate the possibility that things can and do go wrong through nobody's fault. But when you have clear expectations about roles and responsibilities, they are agreed to in writing, and you have a termination clause which allows either party in the agreement to end the relationship, and under what conditions, the timeline, whether that involves a refund, and so forth. It's really, really important. I work with female solopreneurs, and I cannot tell you the number of clients that I have worked with who have talked about nightmare situations involving clients. And 9 times out of 10, it's because they did not have these things in place to prevent those situations. You know, we all go into business hoping for the best and assuming those horror stories that we hear about just aren't going to happen to us. But they can, And it doesn't mean you're a bad business owner. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong or you don't have what it takes. I think we just need to be mature about it and realize you need to be very selective about who you work with based on appropriate expectations and achievable outcomes. And when you have that in place and you're not ignoring pink flags and everything is all buttoned up and in writing, even though it's stressful when things go sideways or south, at least you're not left with your pants hanging around your ankles because it never even occurred to you that this could happen. So this is the first in our boundaries series. This was kind of hard to hear. From my experience, it is the things we don't want to talk about that we absolutely must in order to have a successful business that lasts over time. So I hope you got a lot out of this. Please let me know. You can send me an email or you can DM me at Coach Diane Wingert on Instagram. If you haven't taken the quiz yet, don't forget to do that. Okay, Driven Woman, that's all for now. And we will be back next week with a guest interview.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.